morning the message is a little bit different. It's going to be impart some history lesson about superstitions and luck. And then we're going to go into what God tells us about superstitions and luck and Halloween. So there was a pastor that was in line at McDonald's when a woman ahead of him became very upset. Quick, she told the clerk in an upset voice, add something to my order. Usually, when someone wants another sandwich or an extra order of fries, they are much calmer about it. So the pastor craned his head around to see what the problem was. The cash register told the whole story. Her food bill came to $6.66. The clerk suggested an apple pie, and the woman blurted out, "Fine, fine, just hurry up." By the Bible she carried, it was assumed that she would be a believer. Does she really think a $6.66 purchase would put her in hell? Then she said, "That was close. I don't want any bad luck. My cousin once bought something for $6.66, and she got awful sick and had the worst luck." Perhaps you've never thought about it. But we live in a very superstitious world. 80% of high-rise buildings have no 13th floor. Hospitals and hotels regularly have no room number 13. And there is no 13th row of seats on any major airline. Some common superstitions are a rabbit's foot or a four-leaf clover. Good luck. The number 13 is very unlucky, especially on Friday the 13th. If a black cat crosses your path, it's bad luck. Breaking a mirror brings 7 years of bad luck. And we cross our fingers to avoid bad luck and help a wish come true. The key to understanding superstition is in its origin. In ancient times, a mirror used to cost 7 years' wages. So to ensure that people didn't handle it carelessly, someone invented the story that anyone who breaks a mirror gets 7 years' bad luck. That seems innocent enough, providing people don't really believe. Unfortunately, some believers, like the woman ordering the lunch at McDonald's, actually believe that superstitions are true. Notice there are some believers, some Christians, believe superstitions. Ever hear someone say, "Knock on wood"? People use this expression to avoid tempting fate after saying something positive. For example, suppose someone who's been sick is asked how they're feeling. And if they respond, "Well, I'm doing better," they should immediately knock on wood. Otherwise, they might start getting sick. Pagan religions believe that all living things, including trees, had their own spirits. When a tree was cut down, the tree spirit would die, and evil spirits would take up residence in that area. But if someone knocks on the wood, it would drive the evil spirits away and prevent misfortune from occurring. You believe so? some people actually believe this kind of stuff? Really? Superstition is believing in something that you know is impossible. Did you catch that? Believing in something that you know is impossible. Yet, you believe it anyway. According to a 2009 poll, 23% of Christians read horoscopes and believe in astrology. Do you believe that? I know sometimes I'll look at my horoscope and read it just because it's there on the page that I'm looking at. And when you're all done reading it, you wish that it was really true. Most of these people aren't aware that the Bible forbids Christians, followers, from practicing superstitions. Did you catch that word? The Bible forbids Christians? Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6 says this: "You, Lord, have abandoned your people, the descendants of Jacob. They are full of superstitions from the east. They practice divination like the Philistines and embrace pagan customs." Then in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 9, "In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their masters' houses with violence and deceit." See, in ancient times, ancient people believed that evil spirits hovered just outside of a building doorway. And if you stepped on the threshold, you might bring these evil spirits into that house. This is where the ancient custom of carrying a bride over the threshold originated. The bride was lifted to ensure that these evil spirits couldn't enter in her body through the soles of her feet. Can you believe people believe this? Just for the record, I didn't carry Rainy over the threshold because I didn't want to drop her. And besides that, she wouldn't let me because she didn't want to be dropped. Remember that, huh? Different cultures believe that a bride who tripped over the threshold of her new home or entered the house with her left foot first would bring many years of bad luck to her home and her marriage. But the husband was thought immune to such hapstance. So carrying the bride across the threshold proved a good way to avoid such misfortune. Now, would it be fair to say that we've lost the practice of carrying our bride over the threshold? Is why divorce rates are so high? I heard that chuckle. I'm just pulling your leg on it, obviously not. Besides superstition, the Bible also warns against the gods of luck. Isaiah 65, verses 11 and 12 says, "But it will be different for you that forsake me, who ignore Zion, my sacred hill, and worship Gad and Meni, the gods of luck and fate. It will be your fate to die a violent death, because you did not answer when I called you or listened when I spoke. You chose to disobey me." See, Gad was a pagan deity, and he was called the god of good fortune. He was worshipped by a number of Hebrews during the Babylonian captivity. Can you believe that? Here they're enslaved, They're being tortured and beaten and murdered, and they chose to believe or worship dead rather than God. You see how powerful superstitions are? You see how easy that we are led astray by other people's practices? All ancient cultures had at least one god or goddess of luck or good fortune. All of them did in ancient times. Ever hear of Lady Luck? Boy. I'm going to go to that ball game tonight. Now I know that other team's pretty good, but I hope Lady Luck's on our side. Or I could go on and on and on with Lady Luck examples. She is thought to be the Roman goddess of fortune, the goddess of luck and good fortune. It is not known how many Christians believe in luck. But if a superstitious Christian believes in bad luck, and many do, it stands to reason they would also believe in good luck, and many do. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 5, I will destroy anyone who goes up on the roof and worships the sun, or the moon, and the stars. I will also destroy those who worship me and swear loyal to me, but then take oaths in the name of the god Moloch. So Zephaniah is talking about Christians that very rapidly or very fast to say or tell you that they're Christians, and then go about their everyday life believing in good luck or bad luck, or maybe a whole host of other superstitions. Sometimes I think Christians that think this way don't tell us that, because deep down they know that it's not believable. That deep down we know that it's wrong. But yet we're still influenced by society, by media, by non-believers. And sometimes we choose to follow these superstitions and believe in them because some of them are just feel-good superstitions. Or some of them make us feel a sense of security. And they're really not. Ever hear the old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket? It means you should not focus all your resources on one hope, one strategy, or one plan for success. You should always have an alternate or a backup just in case. After all, it's better to be safe than sorry. And as I think of this and read this and wrote it, that makes sense when it comes to eggs. But it's horrible advice when it comes to the Lord God Almighty. He's the only one we need in our basket. Toss away all these superstitions. You can have all the eggs you want in your refrigerator. But the love of God is the only one you need in your heart. A wise man once said, let Satan have a tiny piece of your heart and he'll torment you until he has it all. Boy, is that true or what? Give him this much attention and you'll get more emails than you ever thought of. signed Satan. Just that much. And he's relentless. He'll continue and continue and continue until he has you totally engulfed and embraced. And all the superstitions that you believe in doesn't matter. Because Satan uses these superstitions for his benefit. In the same token, the Lord requires us to have faith. He insists that we believe in him and his promises alone. It's not enough to believe that God exists. The devil believes God exists. We must believe that God exists, but do you believe that he'll provide for your every need? Do you believe that he'll protect you from harm? If you need an alternate deity to fall back on, then you don't really believe that God will take care of you. If you believe in Lady Luck, you don't believe in God. That's pretty bold for me to say that, but it's true. Or you don't believe God's promise that he'll take care of you if you have to call in Lady Luck. Or if you have to depend on other superstitions. If you need a horoscope to tell your future, then you don't trust your future in Jesus Christ. If you practice superstitions in order to avoid bad luck or a rabbit's foot or whatever you to have good luck, then you need to repent. Listen to this. From following any pagan deity. 1 Corinthians 10 verses 20 and 21 reads like this. What is sacrificed to idols is offered to demons. That's what we just read this morning. Not to God, and I do not want you to share anything with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons also. You cannot share at the Lord's table and the table of demons. Now I got some bad news for you. The same applies to Halloween. God is not honored or even mentioned on Halloween. Halloween is a time when Satan, witches and demons are glorified. Ghosts and goblins and skulls and skeletons, black cats, jack-o'-lanterns, bats, spiders, witches, and costumed trick-or-treaters all have their roots in superstitious pagan beliefs. Now, I don't recommend that we participate in Halloween. So you're sitting there thinking right now, who is he? I've seen his kids come trick-or-treating at my door. Who is he? I've seen him go to a Halloween costume party for adults. Well, let me say this, I got good news for you. Showing the love of Jesus Christ by handing out candy to little kids is not celebrating Halloween. Oh, it's a big sigh of relief. But it's true. So I ask you this morning, when your doorbell rings and you answer the door because some snot-nosed little kid is out there because the weather's cold, is hollering trick-or-treat, you give them candy, do you do it with the love of Jesus Christ? Or do you do it because it's the popular thing to do? thought came to mind as I was preparing this. If we had a Praise God evening, and all of the kids went out and trick-or-treated, instead of saying trick-or-treat, said Praise God at your door, and your doorbell rings and you come running, how much and what kind of candy would you give that child? And when you gave that child that candy, would you say Jesus loves you? Would a Praise God holiday get as much commercial play as Halloween does? Would the shelves in the stores be filled with candy on a Praise God holiday? I don't know. But it's thought-provoking, isn't it? True believers of Jesus Christ reject superstition. Because they know that the whole world is under God's control. Proverbs 16, verse 4, God made everything with a place and a purpose. Even the wicked are included, but for judgment. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, see if this sounds familiar to you, Bob and Betty. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. We had a wedding last Sunday afternoon here in the church. When I met with the bride and groom, I asked them if they had a favorite verse. This verse was Kathy's favorite. Not based on superstition. Based on hope and love and promises. Daniel 4, verse 35, everyone who lives on earth is nothing compared to him. God controls the stars in the sky and everyone on this earth. No one can stop his powerful hand or question what he does. So in regards to law and superstition, let's not forget that Jesus said no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. In closing, here's a quote from the Message Bible. It comes out of Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you. His power extends over everything. That's from the Message Bible. So I want to leave you with this. C.S. Lewis once said, listen to this. This is really profound. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. When Jesus is blessing your life, you people think of Halloween in a little bit different context. Perhaps we will look at the superstitions that we may embrace or partially embrace or even question